Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, the host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the great things that they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website at kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we're talking about Lutherans and education. We have a different guest scheduled for each day of the week, and we want to discuss various areas of education. Now, I want to remind you that you, our listeners, get to be a part of this show. Call in or email your questions and comments for our expert. During the show, those numbers are in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or if you're out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email those questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Well, yesterday we learned how a Lutheran higher education can be of great value for students in so many ways. Today we're going to talk about educating our children before they go to college. While some parents believe a Lutheran school is best for their children, others may choose to send their children to public school. The parents of over 2 million kids in the United States have chosen a different option. It's homeschooling. Homeschooling provides children with many benefits that can't be taught in a traditional classroom. Our guest today is Dr. Melanie Wilson. She's a clinical psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six with experience as a drug study coordinator for anxious patients, a college psychology instructor, a psychologist in Christian practice, a freelance writer. She's an author and a speaker. Melanie says that homeschooling is her most fulfilling career. She has a kindergartner and a student in every other grade level up to high school sophomore. Melanie, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Well, we're honored to have you back on the show to tell us some other options in educating our children.
Well, I'm excited about that. I love to talk about homeschooling.
Great. Well, we're glad. Now, what are some of the reasons that you've heard from other parents of why they are taking their children's education into their own hands?
Well, the reasons are varied. They really are concentrated in many parents. I would say most parents who homeschool choose to do so because of their Christian faith. They want an opportunity to impart their faith to their children, as Deuteronomy tells us to be speaking of God's word and teaching God's word to our children all day long, when they rise up, when they lie down, when we walk along the way. And many Christian homeschooling parents believe that homeschooling provides the best means of being able to do that, to teach them God's word all day long. But that's only one part of the homeschooling population, even the Christian homeschooling population. Another reason that parents choose to homeschool is because they believe it provides the best education for their children. And the data really back that up. Studies that I looked at when I was considering homeschooling really impressed me that students who have been homeschooled through the eighth grade score four grade levels ahead of public school students, and they score even higher than private school students, which is pretty impressive because private school students tend to score much better on exams than public school students do.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, Melanie, while you've chosen to homeschool your children, we want to stress that sending your kids to a Lutheran school is a great thing as well, or even a public school could be. Am I right in thinking that each family's situation, though, is different?
Absolutely. There are definitely families that I would really discourage from homeschooling.
Sure.
And every child is different, every family is different, and every season of life is different. You might choose to homeschool your child in one season of their lives and not in another. And, you know, I think that's what's really wonderful about the educational options that we have in our country today, that we do have so many varieties of options. And I'd love to explain what homeschooling even offers in terms of options. It's not maybe what you think. So, you know, I think it's really important to just be praying about it, discussing it with your spouse. Hopefully you have a spouse that is the parent of your child living. It's a two-parent household. If not, it can be a lot more complicated to try to make those educational decisions. But, you know, just be communicating with the Lord and with other people in your life to determine what the best option is. And, of course, with your child as well, depending on their age.
All right. Well, tell us how you came to the conclusion that homeschooling may be for you and your children.
Right. Well, I had really no desire to homeschool at all. I had a family member who was homeschooling, and I was in graduate school for psychology at the time that I heard about it for the first time because of this family member, and I thought, that is absolutely crazy. There is no way that a child is going to get the socialization that they need. You know, I was all about that,
right.
Being a student in psychology, and I had no intention of doing that. In fact, I had no intention of staying home. My ultimate goal was to work part-time and have my kids, you know, especially my younger children, in daycare part-time. I thought that was a perfect balance, and it just didn't work out. My oldest son had repeated ear infections, and my pediatrician told me over and over, it's because he's in daycare. Well, I was really surprised by that because I thought, you know, it's part-time. It's a really small daycare. But every single time I would get him well and put him back in daycare, he would get sick again. And I felt like the Lord was saying, even though I had just finished my degree and gotten my licensure and I was ready to, you know, get started on my career as well as have a child, the Lord really showed me that I needed to stay home. And it was a difficult thing. So then when he started telling me that I needed to homeschool, that was really shocking and challenging to me because I felt like God was calling me to be a writer and a speaker. That's really why I wanted to get my PhD, not so that I would do therapy forever, but so that I would have the experience to be able to teach people through my writing and speaking. And I thought, there is just no way that I can do that and homeschool too. And so I was very resistant to it. But the first thing that I did was I picked up a book about the subject, and I was very enlightened. I really had no idea what homeschooling was all about. And the more I learned about it, the more I was interested in it. I thought it was a great option, but it wasn't an option that I wanted for my life.
Right.
You know, I just thought, I can't do that. You know, I can't give up all of these things that I want to do now with my education and just the dreams that I have for myself. I can't give all of that up. And I thought, well, I will torpedo this idea because I'm going to tell my husband, who is the most social person I've ever met in my entire life, that I want to keep our children at home to educate them. And he will, you know, put the kibosh to that. And he said, I think that would be great. And I couldn't believe it.
Surprise.
I couldn't believe it, right. And I actually took some time away to pray about it because I was really so distressed about the decision. And what it came down to, what I realized is that I thought, there's just no way that I can homeschool and do these other things that God has called me to do. And then I realized, well, that's really kind of silly because if God has called me to do all of those things, it's his responsibility to make it work. So I made the commitment to go ahead and start homeschooling my oldest son when he was in preschool, just to see how it went. And how it went was very, very surprising to me because it really didn't go well, but not for the reason that I thought. It showed me all of the areas where I was struggling and I was in sin and I wasn't allowing the Lord to just change my heart. I saw my impatience. It was just, you know, blaring at me when my son wouldn't do something as quickly or in the way that I thought he ought to do it.
Right.
And I would, you know, get very upset and really, really bad parenting at that point. Even though I was a psychologist, a Christian psychologist, I should have been able to handle it. So the Lord showed me that I really struggled in that area. And then also just being disorganized. I was so disorganized that at one point with my oldest, I thought, you know, if I don't get my act together, there is just no way that I can continue to do that. So instead of going, well, I'm just not organized, so I can't homeschool, I thought, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me get my act together and get things organized in my home. Because by that point, I had 3 children, and I really wanted to have more. And I thought, I can't unless I learn some strategies for keeping things in order and moving along with homeschooling. So as time went by, I found that the improvements, the changes in me were really dramatic. The Lord gave me the answers that I needed for my impatience, my problems with anger, my self-centeredness too, because that's what it was all about. It was all about me, 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 and what I wanted to do with my time and my career and everything. And then with my disorganization and really my, kind of slothful ways in many respects. You know, I'm a very busy person, but some of the more, mundane things I didn't want to do.
Sure.
And it would quickly create chaos in my home. That would also create tension in my marriage as well. It wasn't just about homeschooling and being able to do that. It was about, this is leading a godly life that is going to lead to a harmonious marriage, and that's going to be a good witness to other people in my life, and also just to have more peace and joy, which I desperately needed. So that's kind of the very long answer to how I got into it. And then as I got into it, it's really then I discovered all the reasons why I should have really been interested in homeschooling in the first place. You know, I really came to those discoveries after the fact. So it wasn't like I thought, which I should have, wow, as an advanced student in school in a rural setting, I really underwent a lot of abuse as a kid. I mean, most nights I would go home from school crying, and I would just be crying and crying, and I felt like I couldn't ask my parents to intervene because I thought the abuse would get even worse. Mm-hmm. And so I just dealt with it. And I can't believe that I didn't stop to think, this is not, it's not a rite of passage that kids have to deal with abuse from other kids. And that's really how we think about it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as adults, it's like, well, that's just, kids will be kids, and this is how they behave, and you've got to learn how to deal with it. When the fact is, as adults, we don't have to deal with that kind of abuse.
No.
If we were being abused in our workplace, we would quit, or we'd sue our employer, or we'd sue our neighbor if they were, tormenting us or harassing us. You know, we'd contact the authorities. So after the fact, after I was homeschooling, I thought, oh, I'm so thankful to you, Lord, that I'm homeschooling, and I don't have to subject my children to potential abuse like that. And not that I'm sheltering them so much that they have no idea how to relate to other people.
Right.
Because as we get into this a little bit, I'd love to share with you how I was so wrong that homeschoolers are not unsocialized. It's actually the opposite. I have so many social opportunities with my kids that one of the biggest problems with homeschooling is trying to decide what to do.
There's just that much.
There's so much to do. But, the other thing that I learned as I began to homeschool, and as another great reason, is because it grew my faith, and I was able to teach my children intensively in the faith. Lutheran schools are wonderful for being able to provide your children with a Christian education. But if you want to get in there and share your heart with your child and, make it a full-time Christian education, there is nothing like teaching your children yourself. People ask me all the time, well, how do you deal with my kids won't listen to me. They won't do their homework at night. So how could I homeschool them? And I say, when are you going to deal with that issue? Because, yes, you don't have to deal with disobedience when they're at school, but you have to deal with it when they come home. And if you just keep ignoring it and putting it off, you're going to have a horrible experience once they become teens. And even after they're out of your home, their lives are going to be in complete disarray because they haven't learned self-control. What I tell people is that discipline is the first subject that you teach. And I had to teach it. I had to learn it myself as well. I was struggling with lack of discipline, and that's why my home was in such disarray, and my schedule and everything else. So that is a wonderful reason to homeschool if you need to work on discipline with your child and your own self-discipline.
Sure.
And then the next thing that I learned that was just incredible, and it's made homeschooling the most fulfilling thing that I do in my life, is that I get an education along with my children. You know, I grew up in South Dakota where, you know, our education is pretty good. I think anywhere it's cold, people have nothing else to do but learn
read,
and study and read. And so, you know, those northern states tend to have better education than some of the southern states. You know, my apologies to anybody listening in the southern states. I'm not saying that's universally true. But, you know, I think we had a pretty good education system. But I cannot believe the things that I did not learn that I am teaching to my children. And I get so excited about it. You know, I tell my husband, guess what we learned today? And my husband will often, you know, sit in and listen to what we're doing. And he always says the same thing. I wish I would have been homeschooled.
Wow.
I wish I would have been homeschooled. It is very exciting to just learn new things.
And it sounds like it's rewarding to you, your children.
It is.
And it's also a learning experience for your children and you.
Right, right. It's really, really wonderful.
That is great. What type of parent would you say is best if they're considering homeschooling? What type of parent should?
Well, I think the most important consideration is if the Lord is calling you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that can be hard. You know, you might think, I've had some parents, unfortunately, think that homeschooling is like the ultimate in parenting. And if you're just doing it so that you look like you're a great parent, that's not the best motivation. It's probably going to blow up in your face at some point, because if that's the reason, just to look good, you're going to burn out really fast.
Right.
So if the Lord is calling you to do it, if your spouse is supportive, that is so, so important. If you don't have any mental health issues that aren't being addressed, unfortunately, I've seen some people who, particularly with depression, if depression is ongoing and, you know, it's despite being treated or without treatment, that's really not a good situation to homeschool in. Your kids deserve a parent who can really, you know, be up, awake, and involved in their parenting. Or if you're so busy with a full-time job or other commitments that you can't devote the time to really educating your children. You know, there are programs that are completely on the computer or completely on video, but you cannot expect a child to sit in front of a television or a computer screen all day,
no,
getting no feedback, no tutoring, no human interaction, and expect that that's going to work.
They may put a movie on instead.
Well, right, but even that is not going to satisfy a child. They need, you know, the older the student, the more independent they can be in their learning, for sure. But if you're thinking, well, I'm just going to get this computer program or this online school or whatever, and I can do my business on the side and they're just going to be over here doing their thing, think again. That would not be a good situation.
No, that interaction, I'm sure, is a must.
It's very important.
Now, you have children at several different age groups.
I do.
Tell us a little bit how it's different schooling each
sure.
one of them.
Well, in the early grades, you have to spend a lot more concentrated one-on-one time teaching them to read. That's critically important. Once your student is reading well, they can do a lot of their work on their own. You can, you know, give them an assignment or a worksheet or, you know, even a research project to work on. And if they can read, then they can work very independently. But those early years, you really need to do focused work on getting them up to speed with their reading. And, you know, you can't rush that. So it's going to take some years to get that going. Then as students progress, they just do more and more independent work until when students are in high school and even in junior high, they can do much of their own independent work. And they actually enjoy doing that. And it frees you up to be more of a tutor. I still think it's important to do some group subjects. I do that with all of my kids. I meet in the morning for things that we study together. So we study our Bible memory. We use a program called Classical Conversations that helps us to memorize key facts in every area. So we memorize all the major events of history all the way through. My kids just finished doing that. I'm so unbelievably proud of them. And I can't even imagine having had that kind of knowledge at their ages. But we do those kinds of things in the morning. And then more and more of my kids kind of drop out as we go along. And then I am focusing just on a couple of students or just my son who's still learning to read well. So that's kind of how it works and how it looks different.
Great. And I would imagine that at a young age, you were mentioning learning to read is mm-hmm. probably just creating that excitement so that they want to do it. Does that play a part?
You know, my kids, I think it's different. It's different for a family who is taking kids out of school to homeschool them, or you just start from the beginning. You know, I have never really had to create excitement about learning to read or anything like that, because it's just what my kids do.
It's just part of their
lives. It's just their lives. You know, and people will ask me, well, you know, how do you separate your role as mother and teacher? And I say, I don't. They've never known anything different. And really, every mother is their child's teacher. Every mother. You know, we teach our kids how to get dressed. We teach them manners. We teach them, you know, how to listen when we read to them, how to sit still, how to use the potty. I mean, all those different kinds of things that we teach them. It's just that many parents send them to school to learn, you know, language arts and math and those kinds of things. So right. it's really no different. It's just that I'm teaching those other subjects as well.
Great. That's wonderful. Now, do you find that homeschooling to be that it's more flexible on your time, or do you prefer to stick with a like a firm schedule as much as you can?
Well, that's really two questions. It is absolutely more flexible. If I had to drive my kids to private school and with all the different, you know, schedules and things that they have,
right,
I would really be ready to tear my hair out, you know, and I know people who do it, but, you know, people just say, oh, you must have your hands so full. But really, I look at people I know who have just a few kids who have their kids in Lutheran school, and maybe they work on top of it, and I see them, you know, driving and going and doing all these things, and I think, wow, you know, that's intense. And I don't have to do anything that I don't think is a good fit for our family and for my children's needs. I mean, I do things. You know, my kids are involved in sports. They actually, the Lutheran school here has been wonderful to us about allowing our children to participate in some of their sports activities.
And oh, that's great.
I've been so appreciative of that. So, you know, I do some running. Don't get me wrong. But my schedule is extremely flexible because of homeschooling. Then, on the other hand, what was the second half of that question that you asked me?
Well, I was saying, do you prefer to stick with more of a firm schedule
right.
as much as you can?
Right. It works better for me, especially having so many children. It makes sense for me to have a school schedule. And I do that. I don't put it as we do math from, you know, 8:10 to 8:20 or whatever, or 8:30.
Right.
I don't have it like that, but I have a routine of subjects that we go through. We don't hit everyone every time, but I do have a firm starting time. I have a routine where I have my kids doing chores every morning and every evening, and it makes life much more manageable.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Melanie Wilson all about homeschooling, Lutherans in education. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Faith and Family at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we are discussing Lutheran education this week. Our guest today is homeschooling mother of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson. Have you succeeded, to you, our listeners, have you succeeded with homeschooling your children, or maybe you're considering homeschooling and you have some questions for Melanie? Now's your chance. Give us a call and get in on this discussion. We're opening up our phone lines, and we'll take some emails as well. If you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email us to family@kfuo.org. Now, coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to continue talking about education for Lutherans as we explore the mission of sharing the love of Jesus Christ with children around the world. David Sabing is the executive director of Children's Christian Concern Society, and he'll tell us all about some great opportunities in Christian education. So plan to join us again tomorrow as we continue that discussion. Now, Melanie, we were discussing you homeschooling your children, and I'm just wondering, do you feel like your kids get along better with each other since they're classmates as well, or is there still that sibling differences, I guess?
Yes and yes. They definitely get along better. I noticed just huge differences between how my children related to one another and continued to do so than how I related to my brother when I was growing up. When I would bring them to a social situation, they tended to stay together. And even now in our neighborhood, two of my boys have very good friends, boys that are in the neighborhood, and they play together with them. It's not, you know, this kid is only friends with this boy and this boy, but we both stay together. And I kind of made it clear that they were pretty much of a package deal with my neighbors, and you know, it's gone just fine. And I think it just provides that sense of security and stability that isn't always there. Not to say that my kids aren't ever alone with friends, because they definitely are, but I definitely see much closer relationships. But because they do spend a lot of time together, there's also more opportunities for conflict. But what's great about that is that I'm constantly using it as an example of how they need to learn from God how to relate to one another and how to resolve conflict with people, because that's something that they're going to deal with their whole lives. And I believe that that's why God gives us siblings, so that we can work on those people skills. Usually we have the most serious troubles with our siblings, and learning how to deal with those can help us later in life.
That's great. Now, as far as a mother, say there may be a mother out there listening right now. She's mm-hmm. considering homeschooling. Mm-hmm. What type of training is there any needed, or what does she need to do?
Well, most areas have some kind of a homeschooling support group or network, and there are homeschool conferences, especially going on this time of year. We just had one here in our area, and there will be another one coming up this summer. But at those conferences or through those support groups is usually offered new homeschooler training and a workshop. And it is helpful, because it can be really overwhelming. You know, you're going to be even doing more even than a traditional classroom teacher does. You know, usually traditional classroom teachers don't have to choose all of their own curriculum. It's provided to them, and a lot of times they can use lesson plans that someone else has developed, and right. And so then they can just add their creative touches. And so you, as a new homeschooler, the biggest obstacle that you're going to have to overcome at the beginning, besides your own fears and anxieties and all of that, is choosing what curriculum you're going to use and getting some feedback and help from other homeschoolers as to what would be the best fit for you is a great idea and a great place to start.
Now, I would imagine that technology and the internet has played mm-hmm. a huge role in helping homeschooling.
Absolutely, it has. But it can also be really overwhelming. You know, you can get any kind of worksheet on any kind of math subject that you want to teach your children. The same thing for language arts and science, but what do you choose? And where do you go? And what order do you put them in? So it's often helpful, especially for brand new homeschoolers. I usually recommend that a brand new homeschooler start with something that's really kind of prepackaged and put together for them. And then they can decide, you know what, I don't like how that's taught, or this curriculum really doesn't work well with my child and I hate it, and, you know, whatever. Or I love it and I'm going to keep going with it. But it just gives them a good place to start instead of trying to just kind of create everything out of thin air. And it really depends on your student. It depends on what level they're starting at. You know, if you're pulling them from school, I think it's really a great idea to use something that's more school-like, more textbook-ish. Right. And what a lot of people don't understand is that homeschooling uses so many incredibly creative materials as curriculum. So it's actually more of a more rare that you have a homeschooling family who's using a traditional textbook approach like what they use in school. And that's for a good reason, because the material can be very dry. For history, for example, I have grown to love history, and I never used to really enjoy it at all because it was just boring. It was just a bunch of dates I had to remember, a bunch of names. Right. It was just a litany of facts instead of a story that was being told to you with all the interesting little side issues and things that were going on in people's lives. When we study history in my home, we'll pick up a biography, like a missionary biography, like what we're reading now, that really relates to American history. We're reading Adoniram Judson's biography, and my kids, before I came here today, were begging me to keep reading from it because they absolutely love it. And who wouldn't? You know, instead of just reading, well, you know, this is what we did, and this is this law that was passed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not that we don't cover that material. It's just that we cover the interesting backstories that were happening all around those events. So it just brings it to life. For another example I can give you, instead of just a traditional textbook approach, for my oldest son, who was an avid reader, he's almost an obsessive reader, he was really not wanting to do his math. I was having a hard time getting him to just keep going with his math.
Right.
And I found a curriculum called Life of Fred. And it's a math curriculum that is literature-based. It tells a story of Fred going through his life and what he does. And it's very funny. It very much appeals to kids. The author speaks directly to kids. And Fred keeps encountering all these different situations and problems that he has to solve and deal with math. And so it just was wonderful for him. He zoomed.
That sounds really creative.
It's very creative. He zoomed through the curriculum and last year took advanced calculus and got a great score on his advanced calculus AP exam.
That's wonderful.
So just wonderful, amazing options that a lot of schools don't have to them.
Right.
Open to them.
Now, how are you able to have classes with your children like PE or science labs or things like that?
That's a great question, and a lot of people aren't aware of all the many options that are available to students. The local Salvation Army here has been offering PE classes to homeschool students for over 20 years. We have the same coach, and he's great, and my kids, it is probably one of their top two favorite things about homeschooling.
That's great.
You know, where I have trouble getting them up on PE days, no. They're all over it. They're up. They have their clothes set out the night before. They're ready to go because they get together with their friends and they play amazingly fun games like Capture the Flag, and they learn all kinds of sports. They even get, the coach even sometimes gets the moms in there playing volleyball with the teen boys and stuff. It's so much fun. So we do that. There are cooperatives. There are cooperatives all over our area and in other areas of the country where they have maybe certified teachers or maybe other homeschoolers teaching classes that you might not want to teach yourself. Some really common examples would be art. If you're not gifted in art, you can put your child in. There are art classes galore. There are homeschool gymnastics classes, homeschool swimming classes, homeschool martial arts, but then there are also classes for chemistry, biology, physics, those kinds of things that maybe you don't feel comfortable teaching. Foreign language is another great example. But if you don't have those opportunities here, there in where you live, there are online classes. My son did an online class in advanced chemistry in, what was the other thing that he did history. He did European history online and loved the class. So there are just unbelievable options out there for people if you want your child to go out of the house. You know, maybe there are even opportunities here in our area where you can send your child to a school that really understands homeschoolers and uses the same kind of curriculum for a day or two a week if you need to be out of the house, for example.
Sure.
So it's incredible, the options.
It sounds like there's all kinds of options, and maybe that takes some of the pressure off of the parent that maybe isn't, doesn't realize or doesn't know a lot about, say, chemistry or history isn't their subject.
Right.
That's wonderful that opportunity is out there.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Are you a homeschooler? What kind of tips do you have for the rest of our listeners? Give us a call in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or if you're out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or send us an email to family@kfuo.org. Got lots of time to hear from you, and we would love to have you get in on this discussion. Now, Melanie, you mentioned in one of your sites that homeschooling is by far the most rewarding experience mm-hmm. that you've had out of all of your other obligations. Tell us how this is so rewarding for you.
There is just nothing like having the opportunity to be the one to help your child learn how to read, to see them finally get long division after struggling with it. There is just nothing like discovering something new together with your child and making those kinds of memories. I remember when I had my son in daycare just a couple of days a week, and I realized that when I was home with him and he would make all these little changes. You know, when you have a baby, you see differences in them every single day. And I thought, wow, you know, what changes is he making at the daycare
right
when I'm gone that I'm not getting to see? Well, homeschooling is kind of like that, only with education. I get to see all those changes and all the advances that each of my children is making, and I get to participate in those too. I get to just be there to cuddle with my kids even, you know?
Sure.
It's just so flexible. I've made some wonderful friendships through it as well. You know, that was one of the things I didn't mention in terms of, you know, options for things that you don't know. Because I'm a writer, and that's just always been a strength of mine, my friends who aren't gifted in that area will say, will you review his paper for me and tell me, you know, what he needs to change? Absolutely. And I teach a class for my friends. I taught a speech class this last year. I have taught writing, and you know, you can benefit from the gifts and talents that God has given to your homeschooling friends as well. So, and then you can utilize the gifts of grandparents and other family members and friends as well. So that it's really it connects you, I think, with a community. I do see that in my friends who have kids in Lutheran schools. I do think something similar goes on in terms of building a community with parents.
Sure.
But I just want to assure people that that happens in homeschooling as well. It's not, you're not an island unless you really choose to be.
Right.
So there's that, and just the flexibility to pursue the things that I like to pursue as well. You know, I have been able to write and speak while I homeschool my children. And I give all the credit for that to the Lord first and to my husband second, because he's been an amazing part of why homeschooling works so well for our family. He's been blessed with a very flexible job and couple that with the flexibility that I have with homeschooling, and it makes doing things like this radio program today possible for me, whereas otherwise it wouldn't be.
Sure, and we're so glad you're here, too.
Well, that's great.
Sharing this news with everyone. This is great stuff. Now, how are you able to keep Christ mm-hmm. as the center of focus in educating your kids?
Mm-hmm. That's been just a huge blessing. The materials that are available for Christian homeschoolers are just truly incredible. I go to a homeschool expo every year that has just, it just seems like acres of materials to look through. And so many of them are just, they're just incredible. You know, I've told people, like our history curriculum, for example, I've said to people, if I wasn't homeschooling and I had no kids, I would sit and read this. You know, that is how fantastic it is.
That's great.
I love it. You know, our history is all written from a Christian perspective. And the readers that I have my child learn to read with, each of them has learned to read with Christian Liberty Press readers. And they're all talking about God. You know, God's one of the first words that they learn to read. And just everything that we do, you know, I've been able to use an apologetics program and curriculum from Answers in Genesis with my kids that just made a huge impact on me. And I was just so excited about it. In fact, I loved it so much that I went to my church and I said, isn't there some way that we can use this with kids here in Sunday school? Because if you're outside of the homeschooling circles, you don't find out about these resources that are available to Christian parents. So that's one of the things that I like to do is to tell other parents about, you know, these are things that you can do even if you send your kids to school. Do these at home with your kids. You know, do them in the evenings. Do devotionals at the breakfast table like we do in our family. There's no reason that you can't do that. Or over the summer, go ahead and try out homeschooling, even if you're not going to do it full time. But do a unit study. Do an in-depth study of something that's related to Christ. But even when we study science, it's all related to Christ. We study everything from a creationist perspective. We learn about why evolution is not something that happened, and that science really has very little evidence, if any, to support that proposition. And so those are all things that I can make sure that my kids have down, because I can see their little eyes. You know, this morning when I was teaching something, I could tell that my daughter was just playing with the dog and she wasn't listening to me. And so then I can immediately say to her, what did I just say? okay. You know, starting over. And, you know, it's all of those things that focus on character. Using scripture, we memorize scripture together as a family. And it was so neat yesterday at church, because one of our memory verses was in the readings for the day. And I was like elbowing my kids and they're like, yeah, we know. We know that one.
Yes, Mom.
So it's really all about that for our family, just integrating our faith into everything that we do.
That's great. Now, you mentioned sharing it with other parents, mm-hmm. And I understand that you're using the internet to share some ideas. Tell us about
yes,
what you have.
I do. Yeah, I have a blog. I changed my blog not too long ago to the blog, the website psychowith6.com, and it's the number six. It means, obviously, psychologist with six kids, but it has that double entendre that I liked, so psychowith6.com, and I share a lot of homeschooling resources on that blog, but it's not just for homeschoolers. I do a lot of stuff with parenting. I just put up an article. I wrote an article. I had a guest post, but I linked to it on my blog where I talked about how important it is for moms to make time for themselves in their very busy schedule. And that's especially important for homeschoolers, but I think every mom needs to hear that message, that it's important to have that time to just be renewed and refreshed and not feel like you're just being pulled in a million different directions all the time.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that I do. I have a section on my blog, psychowith6.com, for new homeschoolers as well. So if you click on the homeschooling tab, you'll see that there's information there for new homeschoolers. And I give you just a step-by-step guide of what you should do if you're interested in beginning to homeschool. And for any of you who are grandparents who are listening, this would be a great place to send your adult children to check out the possibility of homeschooling. I have a lot of people say to me, well, you know, my son or daughter, their baby, my grandbaby is just like two or whatever, so it's really too early. Well, really it isn't. I started doing the homeschooling of preschool with my oldest when he was three, and that's what gave me, you know, an appreciation for what was going to be involved in the whole process. So it's really not too early to start. There are some incredible materials and activities and ideas to use with preschoolers that you can find online. Many of them are free, or you can purchase a whole book or curriculum to use with preschoolers too.
That's great. Any fun, crafty ideas that teach kids a Bible story or a Bible concept that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I used curriculum, a book, a Bible book from Group Publishing that was absolutely phenomenal. And I have all kinds of the books, the Arch books from CPH as well that I've used. I think you can use anything with young kids. I mean, anytime you do anything with nature, anytime you do anything with your bodies, you can constantly be reminding them that God has created all of these things. And why? Because he loves us. And, you know, that's really enough. You can be teaching kids, you know, fun prayers to do. Man, I've done so many different activities with my young kids, and now in the age of Pinterest, it's just amazing. And I have a Pinterest board for homeschooling, and I pin different preschool activities. So if you want to look me up on Pinterest, I'm at MelPhD. MelPhD is my username, and you can find me there. And anytime I find really great activities, like an activity that I just found recently that I thought was just so cute, is you just take a balloon, a balloon that hasn't been blown up, and you add things like beans to it.
Okay.
And tie it closed, and then you can decorate it with a marker to make it look like a bug. And it's one of those kind of, you know, stress reliever things that you can use. It's good sensory activity for younger kids. And what I like to use it for is when I have kids, I have boys, mostly boys, you know, five right. boys and one girl, and boys tend to be a lot wigglier. They're just moving around. They need something to do.
Definitely.
Right. But they can still be listening and learning. You know, that really blew me away, because I have one son in particular who is just, yeah, you know, he's just always going. And I thought, you know, he's not even listening to me. But I would ask him, you know, what I read, and he could just tell me every single thing I said. So I thought, okay.
Yes.
But, you know, it gives them something to do with their hands. Those kinds of kids that are a little bit more active, and it can actually help them to focus. So, and that's a fun thing. They would love putting beans in the balloon and making it look like a bug. And I think I have that activity. I know it's either on my blog, on my homeschooling link up that I do every Wednesday. I do What's Hot in Homeschooling every week. But I might also have it pinned on Pinterest, so you could find it on there. They're okay. Just really cute.
Well, we'll put a link to all of that on our site
okay,
as well
great.
With our page today. Now, your children, I was going to say that you've also got the easiest homeschool record system ever.
Oh, yes. Yes. I just did a post on that. And that came from really 9 years of trying to find the holy grail of record keeping for me. There are some really complex software programs out there that are quite time consuming, and they just did not work for me, especially with having as many kids as I do. And in our state, we have to keep track of how many hours we spend homeschooling, and also we have to keep a record of examples of the work that they've been doing. I don't have to turn that in to anybody, but I am legally required to keep those records. So I had to find a way that made it easier. And so what I did, just very quickly, is I made up I made up a form where the kids can basically keep track of their own work. And it works great. And you can find a link to that on my blog.
Okay. So we can find all kinds of links. As I said, that we're going to put links on our website as well, so you can get in touch with Melanie Wilson. Melanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It's been a joy. Again, we appreciate all of the great information. And listeners, we'd love for you to listen in tomorrow as we continue to discuss the education of Lutherans here on KFUO. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow at 11 on KFUO.